For this morning's meditation, I'll offer guidance on both thinking, mindfulness of thinking, and well-being. And in terms of meditative well-being, it helps if we don't think too much. It's almost like the less we think, the more space there is for a kind of well-being that doesn't require thinking. If you remember at the beginning of the retreat, I described how the instructions would go from breath to body to emotions to thoughts to thinking, and how with the foundation and mindfulness of thinking, it's easier to be with mindfulness of the body. With mindfulness of the body, it's easier to know how to be mindful of emotions. And with mindfulness of emotions, it's easier to know how to be mindful of thinking. So if there's a lot of thinking going on, and that's a predominant characteristic of what's happening as you sit here, you might follow that backwards. You might notice as you're thinking, what emotion is associated with it? What emotion is fueling it? And then do mindfulness of emotion in the way that Inez talked about yesterday. And as you're aware of your emotion, drop into the body. Feel what emotion is like in the body. The bodily experience is not a thought. It's not a story. It's an event that's of the present moment. And if it's challenging to be in the body's experience of the emotion, maybe you can still be aware of it, but perhaps you can breathe with it. Breathe through it, breathe by it. And maybe by grounding in the breathing on the periphery, it might be possible to be whatever is difficult or challenging. We know that now that it's called rumination is one of the leading causes for stress, depression, anxiety. And our involvement with our thoughts is not always healthy for us. And so it raises the issue of what is your relationship to thinking? Are you glued to them? Are you fascinated by them? Do you grant them authority? Are you pulled into them? Are you bothered by them? Aversive to them? And in return, what relationship does your thinking have to you? Do they cast an influence on you? Do aversive thoughts predispose you to feel aversive, to view the world in aversive ways? Do thoughts of desire predispose you for more desire, to have physical urge, yearning, maybe even fire of desire? One of the ways to relate to your thinking is to be truly amazed at how many thoughts you have had so far this lifetime. And here comes another one. Wow. And if you were going to try to figure out which number the current thought is in the number of thoughts you've had, you'd have to spend a lot of time thinking it out. It's amazing that you just keep producing thoughts. Wow. I sometimes think of it as the brain is a tube of toothpaste, and I keep squeezing it, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming, these thoughts. It's amazing. So to be amazed is a nice alternative to being involved with the thoughts, being troubled by your thoughts, holding on to them, pushing them away. That's what we're looking for here, is not to be so involved, not to be neither bothered by them, nor to be depending on them, not trying to solve our life through them. We are much more than whatever we can think. And so the ability to step away and be amazed begins a process of appreciating what is more than thoughts about us. And if the amazement can be very, very simple, it might take the simple form of recognizing, noting, thinking, kind of looking thoughts right in the eye and say, I see you. This is a thought. A powerful word to add to that little sentence, this is a thought, is the word just. This is just a thought. And if you need more help, you can add, and the toothpaste tube has produced a lot of them. And it probably will produce a lot more. Maybe I don't have to take this one so seriously. Maybe I don't have to live in this thought. It's just a thought. So to sit here in your body not as a thought, but a body as a physical experience. If you have trouble feeling your body, you might feel places of contact, your body against the chair or the cushion, the places your hands are touching. Or perhaps how your body experiences the ambient temperature. Or perhaps if you need to get kind of reacquainted with your body, recentered in it, to take a few long, slow, deep breaths, expanding the torso as you breathe in, relaxing the torso as you exhale. Little bit, maybe like a massage from the inside. Stretching and relaxing. And then letting your breathing return to normal. And scan through your body to see if there's places you can relax as you exhale. Might it be possible to soften in the face, the forehead, the shoulders, the belly, possible to release the muscles of your body so your whole body expands outwards into the skin, the bag of skin that holds you. You don't have to work so much at holding yourself. This bag will hold you. And then within this body, can you notice if there's anything, any sensations or feeling which is pleasant? There might be some things that are uncomfortable, but what's pleasant for you, even if it's a very small degree of pleasure? Could be something simple, sensations of tingling or warmth in your hand or somewhere else in your body. Maybe on the exhale or an inhale, there's some simple sensations of smoothness or ease for a brief moment as you breathe. Or maybe somewhere in your body there's some feeling of contentment. Just to be here. Or maybe there's feelings of pleasure from appreciating how little you have to do here. So many of the responsibilities of your life are put aside to be here. And you can just be here. And tuning into your breathing. And perhaps as you exhale, gently, lightly, letting go as you exhale. Letting go of your thoughts. Letting go of holding, wanting, needing. Letting go of bracing yourself. And Is there, as you breathe and as you let go, any goodness, any feeling of goodness or rightness? Any sense of pleasure in breathing or associated with breathing? What happens to pleasure if you ever so slightly turn up the corners of your lips towards what might be called a smile? And the experience of breathing occurs within a wider field of the body, wider field of sensing and being aware. An awareness or a sensing that's not so much thinking, but feeling, allowing, and might there be some small degree of well-being here in your body, here in the field of awareness, small degree of contentment or maybe happiness that doesn't come from thinking. Maybe it's there in the background or in the edges. And perhaps that could support you in wanting to be here with your present moment experience. Perhaps even there can be that sense of well-being or appreciation or contentment might spread into the mindfulness, the awareness that knows you're not in a hurry to be mindful. To be aware you're not trying to figure it out. You're not trying to attain anything or accomplish anything, but rather to allow what's there to be known. Maybe with a kind of well-being, a mind, a heart of well-being. being that encourages you to not be thinking so much, not to live in your thinking, which might allow the thinking to recede to the background. And if your thinking is in the background or peripheral, and your present moment experience of your body is in the foreground, you can be content with that. That's good. No need to be bothered by the background. If there's a lot of thinking, see if there's any physical tension or pressure, tightness associated with thinking. And if it is, as you exhale, see if you can soften that pressure or tightness. As you exhale, let go of it. Let go of the thoughts. And as you let go of thinking, let go into what is right and good right now in your body. What feels right. We often orient ourselves towards what is wrong. That's okay sometimes. But for now, let go into what's right here. The felt sense, experience of well-being or goodness or rightness. Just to be here, present. Breathing, as if you're doing the practice just right.
Thank you.
to make a distinction between thinking and thoughting. Thoughting is what the mind does. It's a thoughting machine. Thinking is what we do with the thoughts. Thinking is our involvement with them, our interest with them, our terror of them, our fascination with them, and our believing them. Thinking is when we take one thought and then we build on it, we pick it up, we think more thoughts about it and get involved. And sometimes it's interesting to tease those apart, just to see a thought arise, and then to see how we pick it up or how we react to it. And it's possible occasionally just to have thoughts arise and pass away. It's a beautiful expression that's sometimes used. Thoughts can be like little clouds drifting in an endless cloud, endless sky. They just go by. But when we think, or when we thought, it's just as valid subject for awareness, mindfulness, as anything else. Just one more thing that nature is providing to be aware of. Oh, there's a thought. And you can certainly use a mental note, thinking. Sometimes that creates distance, or it's a way of stepping away from the involvement in it, to kind of step back and see it, look at it, and recognize it. Oh, that's a thought, thinking. And sometimes it's interesting to be aware of thinking with that awareness which does not involve thought. So what is that? How are we aware without thinking? Is there a silent knowing, a silent sensing, perceiving that can just be there and hold the thinking, hold the thought without involvement, just that's not troubled by it or involved in it? The goal is not to have no thoughts, but not to be troubled by your thoughts, or not to trouble your thinking. They can go both directions. The thoughts bother us, and we bother the thoughts. Poor thoughts. And it's interesting also to notice what we orient ourselves to out of habit or something. Sometimes we orient ourselves towards what's wrong, what's difficult. And certainly that's valid to be aware of those things, that tendency. But if that's the medium through which we're seeing our experience, we're seeing things a little skewed. And if you have this contemplative well-being or quiet sense of well-being, or it's there somewhere. It's part of the scene for sure. Even when there's that terrible sound outside that's unpleasant, there can be well-being in the system here. And I was aware that I could be the medium through which I could be aware of what was happening here was through the medium of that unpleasant sound. Everything was unpleasant then. I was aware that I could drop into a sense of wellness and breathing and the body. And that was the medium through which I was aware of things. That was the medium through which I was aware of the sound. Very different. So you might, as you sit here, notice what you're oriented towards, maybe even your bias. Some people are biased towards what's wrong. My bias was a little more sophisticated. It's good to be sophisticated, right? was orientation was, if it's happening to me, it's not the real thing. It's not what's supposed to happen. It's like, so if I started feeling a little bit concentrated or something, or my mindfulness got a little stronger, or if I, in a moment of mindfulness, that's not really what mindfulness is. That's not really concentration. If it was happening to me, it was not the real thing. That was a recipe for unhappiness, agitation. But that was the medium through which I saw things. And so, all of us have some medium of something like that, that it can be very subtle and hard to see. Some attitude, their belief system. And if we can start kind of orient ourselves to the sense of what's right here, or the well-being that's here, even the pleasure that's here, not to cover over what's unpleasant or difficult, but let that be the medium through which we see things. Let that be a little bit more the disposition through which then we're aware of what's difficult. Maybe your awareness can be something you enjoy doing. You can enjoy being aware. Sense of well-being in being aware. A sense of well-being that doesn't require thinking, but actually supports the mind to become quiet and sensitive and attentive to what's here. So, so I think we have one announcement, and that is those sign-up interview sheets that you filled out a few days ago. They have your name is exactly the same place on the sheet, but those of you who saw Inez the last 2 days will see me today and tomorrow, and vice versa. Those who saw me will see Inez. So if 2 days ago you saw me, you'll see Inez. And Inez is in room 1, I'm in room 100. So if you don't know which day, you can go down and look at the list, and today's Thursday. And it's a special day, I believe, in the heart of the retreat. And you might be a little bit careful. You might be do things slower. So that can be a support sometimes, but you don't have to do things slower. But be careful enough. Well, let me say it this way. Part of the reason to do things slower on retreat, to walk around slower, eat slower, is not just to be a good slow person, but because in being slow, it's easier to notice if you get drift off, pulled off into the world of thinking, and in doing so, getting disconnected. And if you can notice that, then you can stay connected. Stay in your connected bubble, your aware bubble. Staying here, present, what is. Stay close to the practice today. And I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.